This is Reuven Levy. I'm speaking from the Holy Yeshiva of Chutz Shel Chesed in Yerushalayim, the Yeshiva of Rav Shamuel Arush, learning the book Gan HaShalom, The Garden of Peace, a guide to marital bliss. We are reading through the Hebrew version of the book. We're on page 70. We're talking about the subject of putting our wife in first place.
Still,
and I was checking before, just before the class, I was checking to see how much we have left in this chapter. And boy, we've still got a lot. We're going to find out. We're still trying to get to grips with this idea of putting our wife number one. Okay. Mechamet Shinoh says there, who kol kach yisodi. Since this subject is so fundamental, kol kach amok, and it's also so deep. It's actually very deep. It sounds like a simple idea. Put your wife first. Tov, I appreciate it's fundamental. Arush says, no, it's actually also very deep. It's not a simple, put your wife first, yeah. Tov, that's obvious. Next. It's deep.
Friend's wife, number one. That's
okay. Tov, okay. Umakif nosim ko wabim. Okay, tzarich habal la'obob tefillah. Therefore, therefore, a husband needs a lot of tefillah in order to get this right. You don't get anything in this life for free, and especially not the really important stuff. The really important stuff needs a lot of prayer. That's the only way we're going to get it. If we get it without prayer, like Rabbi Natan taught us, it either doesn't last or it's damaging. Kol shechen, the more so something that's so fundamental as shalom bayit, putting our wife first. In order to get that gift, to get that huge level, only comes through a lot of prayer. Can't come any other way. Anyone who thinks they got it any other way without prayer, either lying to themselves or it's causing them more damage than they know. Shabbara Lam Yerachem. Needs to pray that Hashem has mercy on him. Sheyamin bo nekudazot, that he believes in this point. Right? Take something to believe in this is true. Right? We have to accept the words of Rav Shalom Arush. We have to believe what he's saying is true. Accept what he's writing in this book. That takes prayer. We've got a Yetzirah that's saying, no, no, no. Enjoy yourself, relax. You also need to have me time, right? You also need to have someone looking after you. You also need to have some love and affection sometimes. It's true to a certain extent, otherwise the Yetzirah wouldn't be able to say it. But in these situations, it's not true. The Yetzirah is going to be dressed up as the Yetzer Tov. You're going to come dressed up as with a nice white coat and a black hat and a white beard. Say, no, sometimes you too need to be looked after. You don't have to listen to your wife right now. You need a rest. You need a bit of time for yourself. You need to be able to work on the computer. You need to, right? It's not going to be easy to believe all the time in the words of the Rav. Sometimes I'm going to think, in most cases, that's what he was talking about. But in my case right now, this was not what he was talking about. Right? The Yetzirah is going to come up with wonderful ideas. Well, I'm not going to believe in this. He's going to show me wonderful reasons why this doesn't apply to me, doesn't apply right now in this situation. Yofi. We've got to fight that. That's not straightforward. That's not simple.
The Elish doesn't say we need me time.
No, in this book.
Really?
No, there's no such thing as me time. Tell me a gadol that has me time.
Time can also be study or playing.
Then it's not me time, it's Hashem time. Hit bodadut, it's actually not me time. Me time in our language means a beer, popcorn, a game, I don't know, Coke, whatever. Yeah. Right? spacing out time, TV time, whatever you want to call it in this day and age.
No, but time away,
if it was useful, if it was useful for Jews to have it, you'd see it in the Gedolim. Next time you see Rav Arish's feet up on the table, relaxing with his arms behind his head, sipping Coke and munching on popcorn, come tell me. But you're not going to see it, because there's no such thing. No such thing that's useful. Ah, but it's useful, might be useful for me, not when I'm a Gedol Hador. No, it's not true. It's not true. We want to tell ourselves it's true. Why? Because we like it. It's nice. I can come up with great reasons why chocolate ice cream is really good. It's important to eat chocolate ice cream. Why can I come up with lots of reasons? So I've got a vested interest. I'm going to come up with brilliant reasons. The woman yesterday who challenged me about the books, she had brilliant reasons. She had a huge vested interest, right? And she was arguing away, right? And she really believed herself. And we do too. I believe myself. Why? Because I like having a bit of free time, a bit of space, a bit of... I like that very much. And therefore, what do? I shoot the arrow, and then I draw a target around it afterwards. Right? I see what I want, and then I try and work out how this fits in with Judaism, how it fits in with Hashem. Yeah, it does fit in, and I'll show you, and I'll prove it. But I decided what I wanted, and then I looked to see how to fit the halacha around it, to say, look, that works, see? Hashem wants that. It's the other way around. Find out what Hashem wants first, and do it, right? It's not about what I want, and try to fit Hashem around my desires. But that's what we do. This can't be bad. There must be a good reason why I want to go to the beach. So I'm going to find a reason. If I look hard enough, I know enough Torah, I have great Torah responses, for sure, why going to the beach is an important way of relaxing the mind and being clear for your limudim. Yeah, yofi. Anyone can find any justification. And the more Torah you know, the higher level justifications you're going to find. I'm going to bring out a tosfot on daf yudchet of Masechet Makot of why I'm allowed to smoke. I saw it, I read the Tosfot, and it bid you explain why I'm allowed to smoke. Shtuyot. I want to smoke, and now I'm going to find a reason why that lets me. So same too with him. Right? The rule is my wife is first, without exception. Completely no exception whatsoever. Along comes my Yetzer Hara, and we'll find the exception. And it will sound very convincing, and I'll believe it. And what do I have to do at that point? At that point, I have to be honest with myself. I have my belief, and I have what my rabbi says. My belief right now is contradicting what my rabbi said. I have to have the strength to go with what my rabbi says. Have the strength to cancel what I believe in and go with what my rabbi says. Because he's speaking from a place of purity and clarity and truth, and I'm speaking from a place of a vested interest. Rav Dessler explained in his book Michtam Eliyahu that when a person has a vested interest, two things happen. A vested interest is a bribe, and a bribe blinds the eyes of even the righteous. The most righteous, if there's any bribery, even one pruta, it blinds your eyes. Rabbi Dessler explains, he said it blinds you on two accounts. Firstly, it blinds you on the account that the truth, the correct logic, will not even appear to you. It's not that you'll think about it and you'll discount it. It won't even occur to your mind. Your mind is fixed on a derech because of your vested interest. So the correct reasoning won't even appear to you. It doesn't come into your mind. And he says, even if someone else, because it can't come from you because you're already vested, even if someone else gives you the correct reasoning, you'll discount it and say it's not true because of your vested interest. So we should know that we have a vested interest. And because of that, we can't think clearly. We can't think straight. We're going to not come to the right conclusion. So how do I know what to do in my life? I have to do that crazy idea called following my Rav. I'm actually following my Rav because he's coming at it from a point of truth. I have to believe in him and trust him. I believe that Hashem is speaking through his tzaddikim, and he's not going to make me wrong. He's not going to fault me. He's not going to put words into Rav Arash's mouth that he writes in this wonderful book that's going to get me into trouble. I followed it and it was a disaster. I followed it and I made a mistake. I followed it and caused me problems. No such thing. We have to believe that whatever Rav Arash is telling us is what Hashem wants us to do. Because without that, what are the choices then? To rely on myself? Well, what do I know? I know where I came from. And I know that 10 years ago, I knew nothing. I was an idiot. I was a fool. 5 years ago, I was still an idiot. Last week, I was still didn't know nothing. Right? And so I think that today, maybe I've got it right. No chance. Next week, next month, next year, I'm going to reveal to myself that I knew nothing then. Today I know nothing. But right now I think I do. Fair enough. Right now I think I do. But it's going to occur to me in the Bezrat Hashem, where I keep growing, that actually I knew nothing today. What I thought today was actually wrong. So I can't rely on myself. Even if I think what I'm doing is good. I know previous times in my life when I thought, no, this is correct, and look where it got me. So I can't rely on myself. One of the main tasks of working on my midot is cancelling myself to my rabbi, cancelling myself to the tzaddikim, cancelling myself to Torah. That's called humility. Humility is saying, I really don't know. I don't know. Right? Rav Nachman says the highest form of wisdom is when a person can say that I know nothing. I know nothing. And not as a joke. When he truly believes that he knows nothing, that's the highest form of wisdom. Because that's the only truth. That is the truth. Any other wisdom that he thinks he knows is not really true. It's what he thinks he knows, but it's not. It's a high concept, but the basis of the concept is, like Rabbi Natan said, that the key is to put our own wisdom aside and to follow the tzaddik, because he knows how to make us tzaddikim, tzaddikim mamash. So Rabbi Natan said, I can make all my students tzaddikim mamash. They have to listen to me. He wasn't doing it for an ego trip. Doesn't it's not too good, right? You're teaching your children what the best way in life is. Who are you doing it for? You doing it for an ego trip for you? No, you're doing it for them. Well, Nathan's doing it he's looking at us and saying, look, doing it for you guys. I'm not trying to fool you. I'm not trying to, and my barish too. I'm not trying to make you clones to be like me because it makes me feel good that everybody's doing what I say. Ridiculous. I'm teaching you what I know is true to help you. And that's what this book is. It's for him to teach us, tell us not to.
There's a difference between knowing nothing and not knowing why. You say follow your Rav. If your Rav tells you drink 3 cups of water a day, you drink 3 cups of water because he said, right? Your reason for, he may give you a reason for it, and you have a reason because he gave you a reason for it. But I'm doing it because my Rav does it. He may not have a reason. He'll say that I know nothing either. I do know that I'm supposed to drink 3 cups of water a day.
Okay.
So you do have a certain amount of knowing.
What's the knowing?
It's
not knowing, it's belief. It's belief. He's telling me to do it, and I believe I should do it because he said. Because even the Torah, where we have reasons for laws, we're told that the reasons aren't real. It's just because Hashem said. I'm giving you a reason so that you can understand, that you can make it logical for you, you can get to grips with what I'm talking about. But the real reason is because Hashem said, and I'm only doing it for that reason, ideally.
You're still doing the thing.
But based on belief, not based on my knowledge, not based on my understanding. I think it's a good idea, not to steal from people, because society just breaks down. Right? If everyone steals from each other, it's going to be a disaster. I can see in my knowledge in my brain it doesn't work. If I take it from you, and you take it from me, and it's going to be a disaster. Right? That's not the height of knowledge. The height of knowledge is Hashem says, "Don't steal," so I'm not stealing. That's it, simple. Not because I've worked it out and it's my wisdom.
So you said a reason, right? You don't have to have it. Because if you still do it, even if you have a reason or not, it's still a certain something you have to do. That's a kind of knowledge. You know, using the word, everything I'm doing is heaven or not.
I have to know the practicals in order to do it. I have to know how many times to wrap the strap around my arm. I need to do 7, for example. I need to know that. So I need to know information. But information is not necessarily knowledge. It's not wisdom.
Information is not wisdom. Knowing the ABC is not.
Like, I know that I need to go to shul and I need to daven for shacharit and for maariv. I know that I need to put my wife in first place. Right? But knowing the information and believing that I reasoned it, I have the knowledge, is a different thing. He's saying stay away from knowledge and chokhmah. Stay away from thinking you understand what's going on. Just do. Right? Now, 7 Ishmael, just do. The simple, the tamimut, the tam, is the opposite of the chacham. The tam does. Why? Because this is the right thing to do. Why? I'm not asking why. I'm doing it. It's the highest level is to be the tam. Well, you just do because that's what I need to do. Why? Well, I don't ask. Why is my importance? Why is my even? If I've got why, I get to the point of doing things which make sense to me, and not doing things which don't make sense to me. I do things according to the level of whether or not, yeah, I get that, or no, I don't really get that. So, and therefore, I choose what I'm doing. However, if I'm doing everything simply just because he said, right, my machronim, why? Don't know. I have no idea what the significance is. Who cares? Another person may say, no, my nachronim, melech storm, and we don't have that anymore. We use a knife and fork anyway, so your hands don't touch the food. So who needs what? Right? And you're going to use my wisdoms. Where's it going to get me? I'm not going to bother. And I'm going to miss the fact that Hashem wants me to do my nachronim. Why not? There's all Kabbalistic reasons why it has great influence on the world. Yofi, but my wisdom's not there yet. So I'm going according to my wisdom. The same with everything else. If I think it's useful for me to put my wife in first place, so you're right, I can understand why that's good and why it's going to get me shunned by it, so I'm going to do it. And in another circumstance where right now it seems to me more important to do something else, so according to my wisdom I can put that aside, it's not important right now according to my wisdom. Whereas if I just stuck with the basic simple rule, put your wife first place every single occasion, no matter what, then I go with that and I'm going to have complete success, and I'm not going to be tripped up by the Yetzer Hara, who's going to come disguised in wisdom as this is a much better thing to do right now. It's a much better thing.
So we know things, but we don't understand anything. That's the difference. We know about the 7 times, but we don't understand.
Why
we should put our wives in first place, even though we get reasons here. But we know we should do it.
So Rabbi Arush gives us reasons here, because we're human. If he just writes it, and this book is a page long, with just a list of instructions. Number 1, put your wife first. Number 2, don't criticize. Number 3, without doing all the explanation. What's that about? What's the point? I don't accept it. If we accepted what our Rabbanim said, we wouldn't have to have 400 pages, right? I could have half a side, we'd be finished. I'd have all of Shalom Bayit in my hand in one class, do this, this, and this. And if I just do exactly what he said with no questions asked whatsoever, we think of where we'd be right now. But now I need to go over it, I need to spend weeks and weeks just on this point to really agree, really believe and see all the angles and learn maybe from this, no, that doesn't work, maybe from this side. So I'm fighting with it. I'm trying to get to the grips where I believe in it based on my own chokhmah, unfortunately. So based on my own chokhmah, by the end of the chapter, You've convinced me.
We need to have the emunah of a Tom. Unfortunately, we've been raised in a society of the Hakam.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we've seen in the last 200 years what the Hakam has done, in which they say, you don't need to keep kosher because it's because of trichinosis. Well, if you don't keep kosher, your children won't be Jewish. And their grandchildren won't be Jewish. And sooner or later, you won't have a Jewish line.
Right. Nachon, you're right, 100%. 100%. All the changes to Judaism came about through people trying to use their own wisdom to say, much better do this, much better to drive on Shabbat and get to shul, much better, right, through my wisdom.
No boundaries.
But everything is subject to my wisdom. And my wisdom is flawed. My wisdom is the Yetzer Hara. It's Hashem testing me with the Yetzer Hara. And the smarter I get, the smarter my Yetzer Hara. Right? And that's why you can have very great Talmidei Chacham that make very big mistakes. Because at their level of understanding and wisdom, their Yetzer Hara comes up with some wonderfully creative reasons why they're allowed to do whatever they want to do. Right? Yofi, but what's our job? Our job is, at the essence, if we can, is exactly what we're talking about now, to be a simple Tam. When your Rav says, this is what I mean, then this is what I mean. If I need to clarify the parameters, like, put your wife in first place, what exactly do you mean? How does that work? For example, so I can ask questions and I can understand and understand what it means. But my goal shouldn't really be to understand, well, what's your logic behind it? Because if I don't grab your logic, I'm not going to do it. And my goal should just be to try and find out more details, more circumstances, how to do it, what all the details are. That should ideally be my goal, not to work out whether I want to do it because I agree with it or not. So here the Yetzer Hara is going to jump all over us. So even though we think we have the concept, okay, so we need to believe in this, in it. To fix firmly into our heart that this is what Hashem wants, right? Exactly this point, that we need to pray that I believe that this is really what Hashem wants. I believe that what Rav Arash wrote is what Hashem wants from me. I believe that he wants me to put my wife in first place, above everything else. I believe that's Hashem's will. If I don't believe it's Hashem's will, then I shouldn't be doing it at all. I shouldn't be doing anything which I think is not Hashem's will. Really. So I have to believe that the way I'm approaching my shalom bayit, putting my wife first, putting her above everything else, is what Hashem wants from me. But Zohar Amet, and that's the truth, right? This is the real truth. The truth is, I do need to put my wife first. That's the truth that Hashem wants. She'ishto tiyeh tamid yoter chashuva mikol dabar acher, that my wife will be always more important than anything else. V'shezeh hatikun shelo, and that I believe and pray that this, that I understand that this is really my tikkun. But I understand that my tikkun is to put my wife first, to cancel myself, to cancel all the other stuff that I've got on. That Hashem only gave me the job of uploading the files to the internet in order that I could turn the computer off when my wife told me to, when my wife asked me a question. Hashem gave me a more important job that I would have a test of cancelling that job, closing the book. Hashem gave me a class tomorrow in Gemara, and we need to learn Daf Dalad Amud Bet of Sanhedrin. And I open the book to review it the night before, and my wife says to me, I need to speak to you about something. Right? Hashem only gave me the task of having a class in the morning so that I can put the book away and say, Hashem wants me to go with my wife. Forget about the class. It'll happen. Hashem will give me we'll work it out together. We'll fall. I'll make a mess of it. Doesn't matter. It's not the point. Whatever happens, happens. That the truth right now is to put my wife in first place, no matter what. V'zeh nikresha oseh teshuvah. That means that I do teshuvah. Ki ikah teshuvah hi anava. Because it means that when I do that, I'm doing teshuvah. Because the ikah of teshuvah is anava. What's he saying? He's saying that when I cancel myself, I put away my Gemara, I close the lid of my laptop, and whatever else that I need to cancel. That is an aspect of teshuvah, a real teshuvah. Why? Because teshuvah is anava, teshuvah is humility. When I cancel what I want to do for someone else, that's humility. Right now I want to be doing something else.
Yes.
Right now I want to be teaching a class, and instead someone comes in and they want to tell everyone about the big siyum they're doing this afternoon. I want to teach a class here. No, that's what I want to do. No, humility is to listen, put aside what I want to do. That's humility, that's teshuvah. Even if I've got very good reasons for what I want to do, Hashem wants humility, he's teaching us humility. Every time, all the time. That's the most important goal, one of the most important, perhaps the most important goal, to learn humility. How do we learn humility? Hashem makes up a situation where I really want something that has importance, and I have to cancel it. That's how I know I'm being humble. That's what my wife is going to come along and do. Hashem is going to create those situations exactly for that. V'itchanen habel l'borer olam. I need to beg Hashem very much. She'yizkor b'chol matzav, that I remember in every situation, she'adavah hachi mishtalem b'olam zeh l'shmol ishto, that the most important thing in this world is to listen to my wife. Yoter mishtalem mikol esek. It's going to pay more. It's going to be more valuable. It's worth more than any business, or mikol avodat Hashem, or for any other avodat Hashem, right? Mikol avodat Hashem. If right now I need to catch the minion, but my wife needs me, I need to be with my wife. Mikol avodat Hashem, because right now this is my avodat Hashem. Brings in here, I think, the story of the Baal Shem Tov on the Seder night, and the Baal Shem Tov is having Seder with his students. Now all students of Baal Shem Tov, and they had the amazing Seder. They were felt like they were leaving Mitzrayim, Mamash. They were on the, and after they finished the Seder, one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov says to the Baal Shem Tov, "Wow, we were zocheh to such an amazing Seder night. Oh Hashem, the ruach, the amazing Seder night we had." Baal Shem Tov nodded and said, "You're right, we were zocheh to an amazing evening. But you know what? It wasn't so amazing. There's another Seder that's going on the other side of town, which far in heaven is far more amazing than what we did here tonight." So the students like, oh, and all the students want to know, who's this Gaon, who's this Rebbe that's had this more amazing Seder night than we just had? He says, "Come, I'll show you." So they all get up, they all walk to the other side of town. Baal Shem Tov leads them to a little house on the edge of town, light in the window, and they all peer in the window. What do they see? They see a husband there. Looking around, the table's not set. Is this Seder night? Is he Jewish even? There's no Seder going on. There's a husband there, and he's shouting and screaming. What's going on? The wife is screaming at him, "You're useless, you're terrible. I've been working, trying to get this place clean for weeks and weeks. I am too tired, and I'm not interested, and I don't want to do Seder night. Too tired." And the husband saying, "My wife, I understand, you've been working so very hard, and you've done an amazing job to clean the house and to get ready for Pesach. And, you know, really, we should start the Seder. We should try and fulfill the mitzvot." And the wife screaming, no, you're just not interested in me, you're more interested in your mitzvahs, you don't care about me, I've had such a hard time. What? And husbands, I care about you very much, my dear, I'm happy to set all the table myself, you just need to, if you would like to sit down, I'll look after you, I'll bring you everything you need. And she's, no, I'm not interested, you do what you like, I'm not doing nothing, I'm not helping, and can forget it, I don't want any seder here. Goes on and on. Husband sees the time. My wife, dearest, the time is coming nearer to Chatzot. We should really try and do the basic minimum of maybe eating a little bit of matzah and a bit of maror. She's like, no, forget it. I'm not doing matzah, I'm not doing maror. It's all a waste of time. She's screaming at him, calling all sorts of names. He's saying, you know what? If you don't want to, my wife, you're right. 100% you're what you want. Let's not do this. Just like you say, I 100% agree. She calms down, she sits down, she relaxes, she says, alright, look, if you want, have a piece of matzah, fulfill the matzah obligation. Top, sits down, he gets the matzah, he eats a bit of matzah. Offers it to her, she says, Top, give me, I'll take a piece. She takes a piece. She's like, Top, what's next? You want to do the marrow or do the marrow? Top, and they go through the whole, they do the basic minimum. Fulfill the mitzvahs, yidei chovot, cups of wine. Baal Shem Tov turns to his students and says, this Seder night in heaven is causing amazing changes, amazing shefa to the world. The angels were in uproar, never seen anything like it. Far more important than what we did with all our kavanot and all our stories and all our, right? Far more important to keep your wife happy. And put her in first place, no matter what we're doing with.